good to be in the camp meeting. My first time ever being here. I've heard a lot about it over the years, and we certainly thank the Lord for the opportunity and the open door for us to be here. And trust God will help us. Amen. If He don't help us, we're sunk. I'll just tell you that right now. I've been in the pulpit without the Lord, and I've been in the pulpit with His help, and there's no comparison. Without Him, I'd just about soon be anywhere doing anything without Him. Amen. One of the most miserable places on earth is trying to do something spiritual without the help of God. Amen. And He don't want that. He don't want us to try without Him. But if He sees a reason for us to need to be trimmed up a little bit or trimmed down a little bit, He'll stand back in the shadows and it's all right, big boy, let's see what you can do. Let's see how tall you can stand. Amen. Let's open our Bibles, if you would please, to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm looking for what little bit of glasses I do have. Are they laying over there somewhere? Oh, help us, Lord. It's going to be exciting. Oh, there they are. I went off and left my glasses, and I brought these old things here. I just had them thrown in there. I'm not going to tell you why I use them for, but they're not the right power, so we may be reading by faith tonight. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "It came to pass after this, also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat," and you can count on it, if you've got opposition, there'll be somebody that'll tell you. If you've got problems, you'll have a gang that'll be sure to be the tailbearer of that. They'll tell you how bad it is and how many there are and how few you are and how bleak it looks and how bad it's going to be, you know, the outcome. And with friends like that, you don't need enemies. But there come some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be on Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee." Let me just make an interjection right here, if I could. The Word of God made this statement, Joshua did, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." I think it would do us well to take another stroll back through the Bible and see who it is that we are serving. I wonder that many of us live defeated lives because we have such a small image of God. Amen. You'll never live a big life for a small Lord. Amen. You'll never have a big faith and a confidence that'll stand in the storm when your view of God is very small. If you can put Him in your pocket, He's not going to do much for you. He's not going to mean much to you. And I don't believe God will ever do much for you till He means something to you. Amen. If that don't nail it right good and tight to start with. Amen. God's not doing much today, not because He can't. It's because not too many people thinks much of Him. Amen. We treat Him like an alley cat, give Him the scraps that's left over, and we treat Him like a spare tire that when we have a breakdown in life and we get our back against the wall and we have a few problems, we go to get God out to break us out of a jam, and then we'll throw Him back in the trunk and lock him back up until we have another breakdown. It's no wonder God's not doing much. Well, amen. So, preacher, I don't know if we can handle many of them interjections. Amen. Well, I mean, if you're going to pray to him, you ought to know who he is. And Jehoshaphat is leading the prayer to God, and he's not giving God information. He's not giving God information. He's letting God know that he knows who he is. And he starts out by saying in verse number 6, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? That'd be a good way to start out. The model or the example prayer is our Father which art in heaven. Do we realize that's where God is? Amen. Our God, amen. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And what about this next statement? And rulest. Oh yeah, that right there does it. And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? That's not God's problem. Hello, look at me. The heathen is not God's problem. That was said thousands of years ago. He's still ruling over all the kingdoms of the heathen. His problem is ruling over his own people. Oh yeah. Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Now that's the God that Jehoshaphat was serving, and that was the God that Jehoshaphat belonged to and honored and was praying to. And I got good news on this first night. The God of Jehoshaphat is my God. He's not a different God of another generation. He's not just some other person's God. No. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God that the God of the patriarchs is my God. Moses' God was my God. Abraham's God is my God. David's God is my God. Paul's God is my God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, I felt something on that. Amen. Amen. None is able to withstand thee. No wonder Paul said, if God be for us, who could be against us? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the touch tonight. Amen. Verse 7. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein. And have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Boy, I like that. I'm glad God's not deaf. I'm glad He's not deaf. I'm glad He's not disabled. Amen. Are you listening? I'm glad God is not like us that are full of limitations and a lot of can't-dos. Amen. I'm glad God is able to hear and help. Amen. Amen. Anybody else feel anything on that? Woo, I felt something on that. Amen. Verse number 10, and now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and the Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Oh, our God, Jehoshaphat's still praying now. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee.
Oh, we ought to just pause right there and shout it out. Amen. And Jehoshaphat said, Lord, this is a great crowd. We're not denying that. We are in a mess. We're not denying that. The odds are against us. We're not denying that. It don't look good. We're not denying that. Oh, Lord, we don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Verse 13, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levi of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, I'm glad when God gets on a man, he's got something to say. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great company or this great multitude. Amen. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Some of you, I believe, have forgotten that that's in the book. You've known that in the past. You've drew strength from that in the past. But you've gotten over the fact that the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Verse number 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. Are y'all getting this? God's are telling them the details about the enemy. We know where they are. We know how many they are. We know their plans, their plot, their mode of attack. We know their strategy. You talking about some Secret Service information. Hallelujah. Whoa, God knows the enemy. God knows the next move and the next move and the next move. I was watching a documentary one time about this professional pro chess player. And he said that he knows 40 moves ahead. Now, how are you going to beat somebody like that? But no matter what move you make, he already knows your move, and he already knows the counter move. He said, I know 40 moves ahead, and that's astounding to me. That's amazing to me. I can't get a hold of that. I can't hardly do one move at a time, much less 40. But, oh, mercy. I'd hate to know that I served a God that only knew 40 moves. Amen. I'm glad God, hallelujah, he knows all of the intents of the devil. He knows every plot and plan. He knows what he's up to. He knows which avenue that he's coming against you with. Praise God. If we'll listen, if we'll listen to God, if we'll listen to the man of God, if we'll listen to the Holy Ghost, God can let us in on it. Amen. Oh, I feel a breeze up here, and I don't think it's coming off that fan. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Said, oh, behold, they come up by the cliff. Oh, they thought, man, that's a mode of attack right there. Nobody will see us coming. But Jesus did. God said, they're coming up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. It's getting better. I said it's getting better. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Now set yourself. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Are you listening? So, well, we're reading a lot of scripture. Well, I can't improve on what God says. Amen. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head I would too have to hear news like that. Bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and fell before the Lord, doing what? Worshiping the Lord. Are you listening? Well, that's good. And we can read on. Amen. Boy, this has helped me. I want you to look back, if you will, in verse number 12. The Bible said in verse number 12, y'all don't care if I take my coat off, do you? I'm about to break out. Hey, man. Y'all won't share your fan, I'm going to take my coat off. Are y'all listening? Verse number 12 says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. But verse number 12 caught my attention. As Jehoshaphat said to the Lord, we have against this great company, we have no might, and neither know we what to do. We don't know what to do, Lord. I'm telling you, our churches are filled with people that have that on their countenance. We don't know what to do. We're facing things, we're seeing things, we're encountering things on a national scale, and we don't know what to do. We're encountering things in an ecclesiastical scale, a church, and we don't know what to do. We're encountering things on a domestic scale, and we don't know what to do. We're encountering financial things, and we don't know what to do. But I want to try to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me, on what to do when you don't know what to do. Amen. A lot of people don't really need to be concerned about what they don't know. They need to just keep doing what they do know. Just because you get in a dilemma is no excuse for you to decline spiritually. Well, preacher, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to lay out of church. I'm in a fix, preacher. I'm in a mess. I don't know what to do. I've got a lot against me. The odds is against me. It's not looking good, so I'm going to quit tithing. Amen. Keep doing what you know's right, and don't let your problems bring about a second guess of your convictions. Amen. How many people gets in a mess and they start second guessing commitments that they made to God several years ago? They knew it was wrong, or they knew it was right, whatever the case was. But when they got in a jam, all of a sudden they began to question and they began to guess at that thing. Amen. That's right. So what are you supposed to do when you don't know what to do? And by the way, let me just point this out real quick. Jehoshaphat was in a mess of his own making. And so it is with us. Most of us, our problems are self-made. Our situations many times are self-inflicted, where we responded to a circumstance wrong. Now you're going to hear this probably more than once tonight, but if you can get this one line, it'll help you in life. You don't always choose your circumstance, but you always choose your condition. You can't blame anybody for your coldness. You can't blame anybody for your distance and your spiritual decline. Amen. That's right. Amen. You may not have chose your circumstance. It may have come into your life unwanted, unwelcome, uninvited. You may have not have looked for it. Amen. In fact, if you'd have chose, you'd have rather run from it. But you woke up one morning and there it was. It was in your life. It included you. Amen. It may have come through a family member. It may have come through a child. It may have come through a situation. Whatever. Who knows? But there you are. You're in it. You may not have chose your circumstance, but you do choose your condition. You do choose your condition. Are you listening? But Jehoshaphat, I don't have time to go back tonight and to deal with it.
But you go back into chapter number 17 after Jehoshaphat's daddy, Asa, had died, who was a godly man, had great potential of being a great king. But he had a flaw and it led to his death, and we won't deal with that. And it simply was that he did not rely upon the Lord. He relied upon other things and man-made means and physicians and such as that. But anyway, he died, and of course Jehoshaphat steps into his stead. And in chapter 17, we see a spiritual Jehoshaphat. My, I'd like to have Jehoshaphat as our president for about 6 months. I don't think our country could handle much more than that, but I believe the church could. I believe the church could, amen. I tell you, when he stepped in and began to reign, he began to take over. He began to clean house, buddy. I mean, he began to clean house. And then in chapter number 18, we have another side of Jehoshaphat. In chapter 17, he's a spiritual man, but in chapter 18, he's becoming guilty of what a lot of churches are becoming guilty of. And that is, he now is starting to focus not on the spiritual, but on the social. The social has become more important than the spiritual. And that's where the majority of our local churches are this evening. They've gotten away from being concerned about the spiritual and the godly and the holy, amen, and pleasing God and walking with God and having the power of God. Now we're more interested in making affinity and fellowships with everything coming and go. And why is it that the church is leaning that way? Because mostly all, not all, of the television religious programming pushes that. Have no standards. There's nothing wrong with nothing. Let's be tolerant of everything, accept everything. Let's all just get up under an umbrella of unity and let's just have a good time. I want to tell you, socialism almost destroyed Jehoshaphat, and it's destroying the local church today. When we become more interested in having connections and having the applause and the approval of people that don't even know God. You say, where do you get that? Chapter 18, verse 1, and Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Of all people on planet Earth, who would have ever thought that a godly man in chapter 17 would stoop to such a level in chapter number 18? That lets me know that no matter how spiritual you are, I am, or our churches are, we're just one chapter away from falling. We're just one chapter away from messing it up. Amen. We better get right, stay right. We better set our focus on God. Beware of distractions. Amen. Stay away from the Ahabs. If we're going to have a word for the Ahabs, tell them to repent and to get right with God. He joins forces with Ahab, chapter 18. And in chapter number 18, Ahab asked Jehoshaphat, said in verse 3, will you go up with me to Ramoth Gilead? Will you go with me into battle? Will you go with me into this fight? And of course, Jehoshaphat, he said, I am as thou art, my people is thy people, and we will be with thee in war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Jehoshaphat, if I'm going with you, I want to know if there's a word from God. Is there anybody that's going to tell us anything? And of course, the king says in verse number 5, oh yeah, I've got my prophets. I've got my prophets. In fact, I've got hundreds of them, and I've already asked all of them, and every one of them said, yeah, everything's going to be hunky-dory, King Ahab. Just go on to Ramoth Gilead, and everything's going to be wonderful. You know, it's not hard to identify a false prophet. I mean, it's real easy to identify a false prophet just from that text. How do you identify a false prophet? They're always preaching good to wicked people.
That's right.
They've got an Ahab in the congregation, but they're telling Ahab how good it's going to be with them. And they're going to win all their victories, and they're never going to get sick, and they're never going to be broke and poor, and everybody's going to love them. And hey, and all the enemy's going to fall. It's not hard to identify a false prophet. Turn the television on. See if you can hear one that's preaching against sin. Are you listening? I mean, they've got sodomites in their congregation, and they approve that and say everything's fine, everything's wonderful. We're supposed to love them. We're supposed to love them but hate their sin. Are you listening? Y'all didn't choke on that, did you? Amen. And anyway, King Ahab had his prophets and said, oh yeah, I've done checked in all of them on my paycheck payroll. Said they all done told me it's going to be well and everything's going to be good. But you know what? Jehoshaphat, he's had enough of the Spirit. He's had enough of God. That just didn't set well with him. Amen. When a child of God hears a false prophet and one of these lily-livered, silver-tongued, mossy-back hirelings on the television, I want to tell you, a child of God says, hey, something ain't right here. I'm hearing, but I don't feel nothing. Amen. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we can inquire of God? And Ahab said, well, now that you mention it, yeah, there happens to be one. A Micaiah, he's a prophet of the Lord, but I hate him. Oh, really? You hate him? Why you hate him? Well, he never prophesies good concerning me. He's always preaching evil about me. Hey, it's not hard to identify a real man of God because they're preaching against sin. Oh, Lord, help us. I need to be reminded this is camp meeting. I felt that revival gear starting to kick in. Amen. Are you listening? Hey. Oh, yeah, you can identify a true man of God. Brother, he's not for sale. He's not a hireling. He don't look the other way. He'll deal with your sin. Don't ever get mad at a preacher for preaching against your sin. If anybody loves you, he does. If anybody cares about you, he does. But if you sit under a preacher for week on end and month on end and year on end, and he never, ever preaches against nothing, mark her down. He's not God called. He's a hireling. Get away from him. Run as fast as you can run. Whoa, some of you are looking a little wormy tonight already. And I don't believe it's because of the heat. Hey! Well, we don't like that in our day. Well, Ahab didn't like it either. So if you don't like preaching, guess who that links you up with? And so Micaiah, I got to get off this. I got to hurry. Micaiah, he gave the message and Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, see, didn't I tell you? I told you. Hey, when you're a true man of God, you're predictable. Brother Phillips, before Micaiah ever got in the pulpit, Ahab said, I know what he's going to preach. Yeah, I know what he's going to preach. I don't even have to wait till the sermon, till the text. I know he's going to nail my hide to the wall. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you, you ought to be such a Christian that your Christianity and your convictions are predictable. That when you get in a situation or a valley or a battle or a difficulty, people's going to say, well, I know one thing. They're not going to quit church. I don't know much, but I know one thing. I know her. I know him. Their convictions and their commitment is predictable. They're going to love God and stay true to God. A sink or swim, they're going with God. I want to ask you, are you predictable? Or are you unpredictable? Well, I don't know how many pastors in here tonight. Don't raise your hand and don't say amen. I wonder how many pastors in here today, when you see a difficulty come in a family in your church, you think, I don't know what they're going to do. And if they don't show up Sunday, you'll say, well, that's about like I thought. Unpredictable. You ought to be predictable that you're going to be committed like Micaiah was. Amen? Amen. Hey, man. Amen. See, didn't I tell you? Yeah. Micaiah said, I tell you what, you're going to die. How'd you like to hear that on Sunday morning? He said, did I not tell you, verse 17 of chapter 18, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? And again he said, I like this. And again he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and upon his left. Are you listening? Verse 16, he told him, he said, I see your people without a master. You dying. Now watch this. They went on anyway. You can identify somebody that's saved, they ignore preaching.
Right. Yes, sir.
My sheep hear my voice. A lost person don't pay attention to the Word of God, the printed Word, nor the preached Word. Amen. How many times you got in a mess because you ignored preaching? Hey, Lord, this thing's getting bigger. Are you listening? They went on anyhow. Went on into the fight. Went on into the battle. Guess what Ahab did? Turned into a Halloween character. Now don't bow your head back there. It ain't time to pray. Ahab turned into a Halloween character. What did he do? He disguised himself. He disguised himself thinking, uh-oh. Then God said, I'm fixing to die. My people's going to be without a master. It's over for me. I'll hide myself. And the enemy, I'll disguise myself and the enemy won't know who I am. And so he disguised himself and goes into the battle. Jehoshaphat just stayed the real deal. That's what we need. Just the real deal. You don't have to hide. You don't have to cover up and disguise yourself. A true child of God's not ashamed of their identity, no way. Hey, we're going to have a time this week. Come back. Amen. But listen, you know what happened? They went into the fight. All of a sudden, the enemy started saying, there he is. But they were pointing at Jehoshaphat. There's Ahab! There's Ahab! And all of a sudden, Jehoshaphat said, wait just a minute. Hey, something wrong with this picture. The guilty one's over there hid, disguised. I'm the real deal. I'm not Ahab. Hey, if you run with Ahab, somebody probably gonna think you are. If your buddy, hey, y'all getting nervous back in here? Hey, you get nervous. Listen, don't be upset when people think you're Ahab when you're a buddy to Ahab. When you've made an affinity with Ahab. When you're fellowshipping with Ahab. Hey, don't get mad when somebody mistakes you to be wicked Ahab. Ahab had I'm going to have to get out of this chapter. Ahab had the enemy fooled. They didn't know who he was. They thought Jehoshaphat was Ahab. But Ahab didn't have God fooled. God said, come here, bow shooter. I like them bow shooters. Unless they shoot Matthews and then they're, anyway. Hey, got that archer. He said, I want you to shoot an arrow at a venture. You know what that means? Without a target. Have you ever wondered why the preachers are preaching down your shoot? I wonder why the preacher preached that. I wonder why the preacher's on that. I wonder why the first night of camp meeting the preacher's on this and on that. Well, I don't know. I'm not looking for I don't see a target. All I know is that I've got a bow and I've got the arrow. I've got the message. And God is just saying, shoot right down through there. Amen. Hallelujah. And though Ahab had on his armor, I mean, he was from head to toe covered thinking, I'm going to make a fool out of that preacher. He said, I'm dying. I'm going to show him I'm going to come out of this thing alive. But what he failed to remember was that in the joint of his harness was a little crack. God don't need much room. God is precise. And that archer shot the arrow at a venture. And guess where it went? Right between the seams of the arm. You may fool me if you're an Ahab. And I've pastored a few, I'm afraid. But you will never fool God. Hey, you can fight the work of God. You can fight the man of God. All you want to. But in the end, you're going to find out that God knows how to direct the arrow of judgment in your direction. Why would you want to have a friend like Ahab? Anyway, Lord help me, Jesus. I didn't mean to spend all that much time. Somebody had an arrow at adventure shot in your direction. Amen. Amen. But then we come into chapter number 19, and Jehoshaphat's gotten right with God. He went from spiritual in 17, social in chapter 18. After hearing the word of God and God dealing with him, and in verse number 31 of chapter 18, Jehoshaphat saw that he'd made a bad mistake joining up with Ahab. Especially when he saw the enemy coming after him. And here's what Jehoshaphat said. He cried out, and the Lord helped him. He was in a mess of his own making, but he prayed knowing he'd made a mistake, knowing that he had done wrong, and he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord helped him. Boy, isn't that true with us? Isn't that true with us? How many times we've gotten a ditch ourselves? We've gotten a mess ourselves. But when we realized that we made a mistake, we realized we sinned, we cried out to God, and He helped us. Oh yeah, praise God. And He helped us. And come into chapter 19, he's going back in a spiritual direction now again. He's wanting to get right. Jehu come and preach to him, and he gets right with God. And he's going in a spiritual direction. And then you come to chapter 20 and verse 1, you say, preacher, surely you're not going to go through all that again. No, I'm not. But I'm leading up to where I'm going. You say, you're not got there yet? No, I'm not there yet. Oh, get you a fan, you'll make it. And it came to pass after this. After what? After he got right with God. After he realized his mistake. After this, the Bible said, that's when the battle comes. That's when the children of Ammon and the children of Moab, and they began to come against him. And that's, of course, when he said in verse 12, Lord, we have no might against this great company. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Let me give you these few things here if you want to write them down. Those of you that are still awake. Everybody all right? Wave at me back in yonder so I can't see too good, but I can see some hands. Barely. Look at this. The first thing to do when you don't know what to do is to pursue God's help. Verse 3 and 4. What was it Jehoshaphat did when he realized the odds were against him and this great host was against him and they were hostile and they hated him and they had ill intent? What did Jehoshaphat do? And I know this is elementary and I know this is so simple, but we fail. Listen, spirituality is connected to simplicity. Sometimes we think spirituality is connected to complexity, but it's not. We fail and we get defeated in the simple areas. Not reading your Bible. Not praying. Jehoshaphat, what did you do when you don't know what to do? He pursued help from God. He began to seek the Lord. Verse number 3, the Bible said he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. If you're in a circumstance tonight, and if you're not tonight, you probably will or maybe tomorrow. Trials are coming. Troubles are coming. Difficulties are a part of the Christian journey, just as they are a part of being lost. Are you listening to the preacher? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Pursue help from God. Let me give you this right quick. I don't know how many times in 32 years, almost 33 years I've been preaching, that I've seen people get in a bad situation. And instead of turning in a spiritual direction, they turn in a carnal, fleshly, worldly, selfish direction. Friend, you're not going to get no help from God like that. The world has not ever helped you. So why would you turn to the world? Woe be unto them that go to Egypt for help. Why would you want to go to the world for help? Hey, call on the witness stand tonight, some in the Bible that did it. Amen. Let's call Lot on the stand. Ask him if it helped him to go to the world to try to find some help. Are you listening? Ask Naomi and Elimelech if that was okay for them to go to Moab to try to find some help. Oh, I'm going to tell you, that Bible's full of disastrous, amen, devastating stories and commentary of people that did not deal with a problem spiritually, but rather dealt with it naturally. And they turned away from spiritually seeking God and began to seek after the things of this life. Pursue help from God. Are you listening? Oh, God, help us, amen. If you're going through a hard time tonight, listen. You need to just stay true to God. Quitting's not the answer. Amen. How many in, don't raise your hand. But I wonder how many in this camp meeting congregation tonight. Nobody probably even knows it. But you've already got thoughts about getting out of church. Hey, you probably, there's maybe some here tonight, you've already got thoughts about leaving your mate. Nobody knows it, but I want to tell you, God sent a man of God from Rogersville, Tennessee to uncover it in your own consciousness and let you know that, my friend, that's not how you deal with problems. That's not how you deal with difficulty. You're running never has won a victory. Hey, being a coward and running is not how you stand and how you survive. Stand, soldier, stand, stand. Stand! Stand! Pursue help from God. Well, if I could sing tonight, I'd cut loose the singing that we can still pray. We can pray till the walls come down. I can pray till the walls come down. Amen. Somebody said, "Brother, just stick to preaching." Amen. But listen to this, you can pray when you can't do nothing else, because prayer will work when nothing else will. Amen. You can pray when you can't do nothing else, because prayer will work when nothing else will. You say, "Preacher, I've tried everything." Try praying. You say, "Well, I've prayed." Well, pray some more. Pray some more. Pray some more. I had a lady in our church just confessed Sunday morning, got right with their church, said, "Preacher," and I've been dealing on subjects and different things about spiritual slackness. Been dealing with it. And this lady went home the other night under heavy conviction. Got her son, who's lost, and apologized to him. "Son, I'm sorry that I've not been the spiritual mom that I need to be. I've not been reading my Bible and I've not been praying. Actually, I've give up." And that was her words. She said to our whole church Sunday morning, "Amen. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Hey, you know what the devil's after? He's after your confidence. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Hey, I want to tell you, if you lose your confidence in the Lord, you're not going to pray. That's why you're not praying. You don't have any confidence that it works. The devils eat the faith out of your heart about praying. Hey, Hey, is that hitting home? Are you listening? And she said, with tears running down her face, she said, "Church, I gave up." And the Lord spoke to me after she got done and she got right with the church and everything. And I said, "Sis, I said, know this, not praying definitely won't work." How many of you here are facing something, dealing with something? Amen. It may be personal, may be private, may be something in the home, may be on the job, and maybe something physical. And you prayed and prayed, seemed like nothing happens. Nothing's happened. I want to tell you, God sent me down here to tell you, pray on, pray on, pray on, pray on. Don't quit. Don't give up. I'll tell you, not praying will never get an answer. God cannot ever answer a prayer that is never prayed. John R. Rice said that God only answers prayers. God does nothing but an answer to prayer. And so if you quit praying, you're tying the hands of God. Don't bail out. You may be fixing to pray, and God may be fixing to move. Don't bail out before the answer comes. Don't give up on God. Hey, don't give up on God. Well, that's a word for somebody. Don't give up on God. I keep believing. I don't matter what you see or don't see. I keep believing. Keep praying. How do you what to do when you don't know what to do? Pursue help from God. Let me give you this. I'm going to go on. I'm going to have to skip a bunch of stuff tonight. And we'll be here till midnight. Man, this thing, hey, man, I'm telling you. Hey, man.